Okay, good morning, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. So, the message this morning comes from a conversation that I had about a year ago with Justice. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but somewhere along the line he said, you know, sometime if you feel led to do so, preach a message on brokenness. And I didn't forget Justice. But it's something that is, we find in the scripture, thing of being broken. It's something that we, God calls us to. And I'd like to look at that for a little bit this morning. So the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church is located in New York City, Brooklyn, New York, and it was founded in the middle 1800s, and it had experienced declining attendance for years, and till the late 1960s, early 1970s, there was just, it had dwindled down to a handful of attendants, and it was just a struggling church financially. The people that did go there were depressed, discouraged. And it was about this time that Jim Cimbala, I'm not sure if I'm saying that word or name right or not, but Jim Cimbala and his wife Carol took over leadership of the struggling congregation. And again, at this point, attendance was hardly more than a handful of tired, needy souls. And despite facing financial challenges and dwindling attendance, Cimbala focused on prayer as the cornerstone of the church's revival. And he and the congregation fervently prayed for God's guidance and intervention in their circumstances. And Jim also stressed and emphasized brokenness and reliance on God. And there were times when there were bills due, there was rent due, and they were going to have to get kicked out of the building they were in. And God miraculously provided for them. And Jim said, and I quote, "God's power is made perfect in our weakness. When we are broken and helpless, that's when God can do his greatest work in and through us. And when we rely on our own strength and abilities, we limit what God can do in our lives. But when we fully depend on him, there is no limit to what he can accomplish through us." According to Cimbala, brokenness is not a sign of weakness, but rather a catalyst for spiritual growth. And it's through our brokenness that God can mold us, refine us, and shape us into the people he intends us to be. Brokenness often leads us to a place of deeper prayer and dependence on God. And it's in our moments of brokenness that we are most open to God's leading and most willing to surrender our plans and our desires to his will. Over time, the church experienced a revival as people's lives were transformed by the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit, and the congregation grew significantly. The Brooklyn Tabernacle became known far and wide for its vibrant worship services and strong community outreach programs. And today, I think it's about 10,000 people attend the services weekly. And Jim Cimbala's experiences and insights are documented in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And that chronicles the journey of the church's revival and emphasizes the importance of prayer and dependence on the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer in a church community. And I read part of that book. I didn't read the whole book, but I was impressed on what God can do, actual stories of what God can do when people are willing to just let him have the reins and are willing to say, "Hey, God, this is your battle. This isn't mine. I'm here. Use me if you can use me." And what God can do with people like that. So there's another story in the Bible that when I started looking at this and was trying to decide where I wanted to go with this, the story of David and Bathsheba. And I'd like to read Psalm 51 a little bit later here. You can turn to that now if you want to. But first of all, if you remember with me, David's sin with Bathsheba and the way he took something that wasn't his to take, and then through deception, he tried to cover it up. And then when that didn't work, he murdered an innocent life to somehow deceive and cover up what he had done. And then we know that story. God told Nathan to go talk to David. And Nathan said to David, I have a story for you. There's these two men that live in this country. The one is incredibly wealthy. He has tons of sheep and goats and flocks and herds. And then there's this other man that has one sheep. And that sheep to him is everything. That, in fact, he said, it's like a daughter to him. That sheep eats at his table. It even sleeps with him. Now, we have sheep at home, and we enjoy watching those sheep, but there's no way any of those sheep are coming in the house, much less eating at our dinner table. But it just gave a little bit of a picture how much this man valued this sheep and how important it was to him. And Nathan told David, here comes one of the rich man's acquaintances, comes, stops in, and of course the rich man has to impress him. He has to give him something to eat. Where do you think he gets that lamb? Out of his flock, his many herds? No, he goes right to that poor man and he takes that poor man's sheep and he kills it, dresses it, makes a meal for his acquaintance. And of course, David was livid. He's like, whoever that man is, he needs to be killed and he needs to restore fourfold to that poor man. And Nathan said, it's you. And I can't imagine those moments between Nathan and David. And I'm sure immediately when those words were out of David's mouth and Nathan said that, he knew exactly what he was talking about. And, you know, it says then that it talks then about David's repentance. And it talks about David going in and besought God. And he fasted, and it says he lay all night on the earth. And what David said, we don't know everything that David said over that time, but Psalm 51 is written over that time. And it's David talking to God. And it shows us a little bit what a broken and a contrite heart looks like. And I'd like to read Psalm 51. And then I have a couple points that I'm going to write up here on the whiteboard what a broken and a contrite heart looks like. So Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And this is a cry of a man that had a broken heart. And this passage gives us a pretty good window into who the man David was. And it gives us a little bit of a window into why the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. David wasn't perfect. He had failures, big failures. And yet, he related to this with a broken and a contrite heart. And I'm just going to go down through this passage and pull out a couple things that a broken and a contrite heart is. I'm going to write them down here on the board. Number one, a broken heart acknowledges and confesses sin. And this is the first step in experiencing a broken and contrite heart. And we see this in verses 1 through 5. And David here says he admits to his failures, his sin, and he pleads out to God for mercy. And also when Nathan confronted him, he just simply said, I have sinned. And he admitted and confessed that. And in Romans 3:23, Paul says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And if I have a broken and contrite heart, I will admit I am first of all a sinner cleansed by Jesus' blood. And furthermore, I'm an imperfect person, and I make mistakes and some failures, and I need God's continued mercy and grace and other people's forgiveness in my life. And somehow it seems like maybe there's different levels of brokenness. And somehow it seems easier sometimes to ask for God's forgiveness than it does to ask for somebody else for their forgiveness. Am I the only one that's like that? Sometimes when it involves other people and you have to go back to them and ask for forgiveness, it's somehow a little bit harder. And if I'm too proud to admit my weakness and imperfection in my life right now, maybe it's a sign of the condition of my heart. Number two, seeks forgiveness and reconciliation. Restoration. I used the wrong word. Restoration. But either one. It's pretty much the same. And here in the first 12 verses in Psalm 51, David just pleads for forgiveness. And this is titled Psalm 51. There's a heading. It says a plea for forgiveness. And we're created in the image of God. The Bible's clear about that. We're created in the image of God. And somehow, when we sin, it's like a smudge on that mirror, and a smudge that now what's in the mirror and what you're seeing is two different things, because there's a smudge there, and there's a broken spirit and a contrite heart invites God to clean that smudge on the mirror. We must realize that we need forgiveness and restoration. We can't fix that mirror. We can't take that dirty spot off ourselves. We need God to do that for us. We, like David, must realize that in order to move on from our sin, to leave our sin behind us, we need to experience forgiveness and restoration. And Justice, if you could, at the end of the sermon, I was going to say something. If you could lead, I think it's number 13, Perfectly Broken, that song at the end of the sermon, that would be great. But that song talks about all those broken pieces and how God can put them back together. And that's what the forgiveness is. It's when there's the broken pieces and shattered pieces because of our choices or our failures. And God can take those, and he's the only one that can take those broken pieces and put them back together, and we can experience new life and growth and hopefully learn from those life experiences. Number 3, a broken and contrite heart accepts the consequences of sin. This is part of true repentance and brokenness that we sometimes overlook. And if we say that we're sorry for our sin and we ask for forgiveness, but we're unwilling to accept the consequences of our failures or our sin and our pride, it indicates a heart that isn't fully broken. And in 2 Samuel, the story of David, again, it talks about how he went in and just laid on the ground and mourned and pled with God for forgiveness and just cried out to God and would not be comforted. And then he saw his servants standing around whispering, and he's like, they didn't want to tell him because they said, you know what he was like when the child was still alive. What's he going to be like, or what's he going to do when he finds out the child dies? But they told him, and right away he got up, and it says he, I'll read the verse. Then David arose from the earth, first thing that he did after they told him. He arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And this shows a man that was resigned to God's will, and he was willing to accept the consequences that his sin brought. And, you know, it's right and good for us to plead for God's mercy, and we need that. We sure do. But right along with that, it's important that we accept what God allows, and especially the consequences of sin. Number 4, a broken and a contrite heart is yielded to God's will. Now, this follows closely in the footsteps of number 3, but it's a little different in that sometimes God brings difficult circumstances into our lives that aren't necessarily consequences for sin. And the Christian life is all about denying ourselves and living for the good of others. And Trenton, you didn't know what I was going to have the message on, did you? I appreciate your devotions tied in well with this. And it's all about living for the good of others and following God's will for our lives. And invariably, when we're serious about serving Christ, God will bring into things into our lives that we question and even rebel against. And the Bible's full of stories like this. Remember Moses. God told Moses, you're going to Pharaoh and you're going to say this and this and this. And Moses is like, I can't talk. There's no way I'm doing that. Abraham. God promised him children and grandchildren without number, descendants without number. And then he turns around and says, take your son, take him up on the altar and sacrifice him. Esther, she knew how rash the king was. And she was being asked to go in there, boldly go to talk to the king. She could have been killed. And she knew that. She was fully aware of that. Jonah. God had to work a little bit harder on him till he was broken and ready to go. But finally, he said, you know what? I don't care about those Ninevites. I'm going. And some of these cases, some of these people, there was a real struggle. But in every case, they finally came to the point of a decision and they said, you know what, God, this is your show. You know what you're doing. Here I am. I'm going to follow you. And you think about that. Queen Esther and what all came out of that. And Moses and Aaron's leadership. And what God could do with a bunch of men that couldn't talk. And God was faithful in carrying out his will. But he needed broken people that were willing to say, here I am. I don't think I can do this, but if you're going to go along with me, I'll do it. Every one of these people are towering giants of example for us to follow. And I guess it's good for us to look at our lives and what's our response when God has something hard that he asks us to do, or when the things in front of us that it appears that God is calling us to do, are we willing to do it? Or is there some reason we can't and God's going to have to find a brokenhearted person somewhere else? A broken heart that is yielded to God's will is going to respond with Jesus like Jesus did when he pled with God there before his crucifixion. He just pled with God to remove this cup of suffering. But in the end, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's a true test of a broken and contrite heart. Number 5, a broken and a contrite heart experiences a genuine inward transformation. And in Psalm 51 here, David cries out to God to purge me with hyssop, that I would be clean, and wash me so I'm whiter than snow. And he pleads with God to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And if we're not careful, we can go through life as a Christian just checking boxes. We can get up in the morning, read our Bible, and pray. Check. Pray before each meal. Check. Go to prayer meeting. Check. Go to church Sunday morning. Check. give 10% in the offering check, do nice things for my neighbor, and just check the boxes. And those things are important. And it's also, but those things aren't enough. And one of the things that Jesus was so hard on the Pharisees for was for going about doing their religion, checking boxes, and not having an inward transformation. And, you know, if you talk to one of those Pharisees, they knew their law well. They knew their Bible well. They had their theology straight. They had everything figured out. And they followed that law precisely. But like the Pharisees, if we haven't been truly transformed, these things are virtually no value. Jesus used very strong language for the Pharisees, and they bring no pleasure to God. What God desires is a broken, contrite heart, a transformed heart and life. God doesn't want our deeds. He really doesn't. He wants our hearts. And when we have a transformed heart and life, there will be deeds to go along with that. There will be obedience to God's word. When we come with a heart that is crushed and broken and have a true desire for repentance and transformation, here in verse 17 it says, "O God, thou wilt not despise." We can be guaranteed that God will not despise that. Number 6, a broken and contrite heart is humble and teachable. When we have a proper view of God and put Him first in our lives, there's a lot of things in life that just fall into place. When we view ourselves for who we truly are, broken people, dependent on others' input on our lives. And there's two stories that I thought of in David's life when I thought about this thing of being humble and teachable. You remember when he was running from Saul. Him and his men were watching out for Nabal's flocks. And if it wouldn't have been for David and his men, Nabal would have lost some of those sheep and goats that he had. And then when they were in need, David sent some of his men to Nabal and said, "Could you, for payment, could you give us something? Some food or some supplies?" And Nabal just turned them away and insulted them. And David says, "All right, we're going to take care of this guy." And he went and he was going to take care of Nabal. And I don't know, you can correct me if you feel differently than this, but I don't really feel that that was wrong for David to do that. But Abigail came in there. She heard about this. And she stopped David and said, "Really? Is this really what you want to do?" And she pled with David, and David listened to her, and he said something about, "You have blessed be your advice," or something like that. And the other story I thought of was when, not too far after this story, when Absalom and David's men were fighting, and David told his men to have mercy on Absalom for his sake. And you remember the story. Absalom was riding through the woods, and his head got caught in a tree, and his mule took off. And one of the men came and told Joab about this, and Joab's like, "You didn't kill him?" And he said, "I would have given you silver." And the man said, "I don't care if you would have given me 1,000 shekels of silver," or whatever it was. He said, "I wouldn't have done it. Don't you remember what King David said to you?" And Joab went and killed him. Killed Absalom. And David mourned for Absalom. And it says something about the people. In other words, you get the picture of the people all sneaking off to their tents. Because here they had a victory. David's people were victorious. They had a victory, and David was mourning. And Joab came to David, and he said, "You better stop this." Because he said, "Your people risked their life for you. and here you are mourning. He said, if you don't stop this, till morning you won't have anybody with you. And David hearkened to that. And he got up, dressed, and sat in the gate. Now, there was consequences for Joab later for disobeying here, but I just had to think of this was a case where David accepted the input of others, even though it seemed kind of imperfect, especially in Joab's case. There are times in life when God uses other people to speak into our lives. And I really think on occasions like that, our response shows a lot about our character. Our natural response is going to be to reject that, especially when it comes for other people that have so many needs in their own lives. But when we accept that, it also reveals a lot about our character. I guess my challenge to each one of us is, if we want to have broken and contrite hearts, let's take David's example and be open to the input of others. It takes a broken and a contrite heart and a heart of humility to accept input. So we can learn a lot of lessons from the heroes of the Bible, and David is no exception. David faced the joys and sorrows of life. He made some mistakes, some big failures along the way. But like I said earlier, the Bible still calls him a man after God's own heart. And I think the key to that is this Psalm 51 right here, when David showed a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. And God, it says, David says, God will not despise that. And today, just like back then, if we come to God with a broken and contrite heart, that is something God will not despise. And I really think, just like the story I started out with about the Brooklyn Tabernacle, if we can be a group of people that is willing to be broken and contrite and allow God to work and say, God, we're here for you to use us. Just use us, and we're willing to lay ourselves down and show a brokenness and commit ourselves to being yielded to God's will. I'm confident God can work mightily in our lives as well. Let's kneel for prayer.